We're alive and we have not been made illegal yet. Awesome. I appreciate that.
How can the Bredanian government outlaw us
when we are the Bredanian government?
Precisely.
Yeah.
Bird problems, 2017. There are no elections in Bredania because, after all, we are the best.
There are elections, but only one party.
That's right. The Bird Party, man. Birds.
Why would birds vote anything else than the Bird Party?
Wait, there's a Bird Party going on right now? I'm on in. Is there?
There's a Bird Party every day in my pants. Didn't you know?
What are we having to drink?
We're having spiced fruit punch. Didn't you know?
Don't you know? Did you just pull a Canadian on
and
me?
And then, for dessert, we're having grape
No, hang on. Pause.
In honor of
you're your totally ignoring the fact that you just went full on Canadian, eh? Don't you know? Don't ignore me. What happened to the American Griffin?
He was replaced by
Canadian doppelganger.
Intelligence. Maybe. Who knows what Canada plans?
And now he's being super silent. Don't you know?
What the hell did you just say? I don't know. Suddenly the conversation resumed and it was Canadian. What the hell's going on here?
You were the first one to say, don't you know? Don't you know?
Don't you know? Okay, sure. We'll go with that. Whatever you say.
We know that you're an Canadian agent, a doppelganger agent.
Yeah, he's gone full Canadian on us.
Yes, yes. Prime Minister Trudeau recruited me. Mm-hmm. I'm spying on his behalf and reporting all the glories of both Bredania and the interesting rise and fall of America for the glory of Canada.
Canada?
True, Canada. Yeah, it's not Canada, it's Canada. Well, if we call Canada Canada, what the hell do we call Australia?
Canada. Australania.
Australia.
Australia. That place where all the top 10 most deadly of everything live.
The Australian islands.
The world's biggest island.
It's not inaccurate.
Yeah, that's absolute basic knowledge.
It's so big, it's its own continent.
This is a conversation about Canada.
It is also episode 16 of Bird Life. I'm Core.
I'm Fleet.
And that one over there is Storm.
Yeah, it's just Storm, but he also has a very dangerous beak, so don't stroke over the beak in the wrong direction or your hands get hurt.
Yes, yes, you can play musical instruments with my beak.
Yeah, how's the instrument called where you that looks like a cucumber and you're just like rubbing a stick along it?
Wait, are you comparing my beak to a cucumber?
No, he's comparing your beak to a vegetable shaver.
Oh my god.
No! That music instrument with those. That makes like. When you,
washboards?
Yeah. Like washboards, yeah.
It's not a music instrument. It's used for. Okay, sure. I guess down where Storm's parents come from, yes, it could be used as an instrument.
Yeah, good.
And and doubles to wash their clothes.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that, Core. I really do.
Actually, the instrument I was talking about is called Guryo. I don't know how to pronounce it in English, but the English, even the English one has the English pronunciation has an Ü, an umlaut in it. So, well.
An
An umlaut.
Guri.
An umlaut.
An umlaut. That sounds like a umlaut. Sexual device.
Umlaut are those letters with the two dots over them.
Right.
Okay.
And even, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, what are we drinking today?
Today, I'll have my Draconic assistant get me my booze. Hey, booze, please.
Flakes, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a Black Pearl from Distelhäuser. It's a classic porter, and it's probably the best porter I ever drunk.
You usually a fan of porters, or?
There are good ones, there are bad ones. I mean, I love stouts, and porters are pretty close to stouts, but normally porters are a bit too sweet for my taste, but
okay.
That is a good porter.
If porters are a bit too sweet, I struggle to comprehend how you would tolerate a Riesling or a mead wine.
I love mead wine, actually. Well, but
that's because you like Bitterbier, Storm.
I like bitter. I'm sorry, I have taste. My apologies.
Bitch beers are not classy.
Actually, when it comes to wine, I like sweets. I don't like dry wine.
Bitch beers are the ultimate definition of
They're aptly named.
Because they are delicious to drink in both dessert and any time of day. Whereas if you drink something bitter, it just reflects the kind of person you are on the inside.
Or, you know, you could continue to enjoy your Mike's Hard Lemonade along with all the other 18-year-olds.
For the record, I am not drinking any of that shit today. I am drinking the Rogue Fruit Salad Cider. 1 pint, 6 fluid ounces, or 650 milliliters for Fleeks. Crafted by Rogue Ales.
I have a problem with Rogue Brewing Company. They are the worst in existence.
Why?
Have you seen their sriracha beer?
Seen it, never tried it.
Rogue does not take their brewing seriously. They're not an actual legitimate beer brewing company. They make all these wacky off-the-wall beers and... in hopes of catching the audience with the eyes of, you know, what the hell is this? And then their beer pretty much just sucks, man.
I personally
I'm trying it now for the first time, and that I don't like fruit salads, and that's kind of nasty. So, yeah, can see what you're talking about there, Cor.
Rogue Brewing is a horrible company.
It literally tastes like they put different types of fruits and shit together and just kind of threw it in to a drink mixture, not caring what the result was.
Yeah, that's about right. That's accurate, actually. Their sriracha beer was so bad. Oh my god, I can't even... It tasted like I was drinking spicy vomit.
Now, I know in your unique line of work, you do drink lots of interesting things, but spicy vomit?
Also, I think the sriracha thing was like a PR gag. I hope so.
Well, like I said, from what I've observed of Rogue Brewing Company, they put out all these wacky-ass beers in hopes of catching people to go, oh, I want to try this. And that's how they make their money, is by getting people to buy their beer because it's just so off-the-wall and weird. But then when anybody actually tries it, it's shit. It just tastes horrible.
Well, I would be one of them who actually would buy those just to try them for fun.
You know, that actually works. Just coming up with off-the-wall shit and throwing it and seeing what sticks. Not just beer companies. Companies in general do that all the time.
Yeah, but it also kind of goes to show the quality of level of company you're working with when you do that.
I mean, there are exotic kinds of beer you hear about that other companies do, and it works, like the Mexican cake I drank, that one with habanero and chocolate. Oh my fucking god, it was so good. It was so fucking good.
That sounds terrible.
But it was freaking good. You have to try it if you can get a Mexican pie.
Habaneros and chocolate. Oh god, no.
Habaneros and chocolate are like...
That reminds me of bacon and ice cream. Oh man, that sounds so good.
You never heard about the combination of chocolate and chili?
Not in a beer, no.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Fair enough.
I've had habanero peppers put on top of like pastries before. That's okay.
Yeah,
there was like a chili powder, like a chili spice donut. I don't remember what their name is.
If we ever have the chance, I will invite you to a Mexican cake, and then we will see.
Okay,
we're gonna have an eating competition. See which one of us can stomach the most different variety of foods and their respective matching beers.
By the way, guys, the first thing I would like to do today is like to get back to some of the questions we have left out last show. And because I want to finish with the, with the topic from last time, the video game topic. And yeah, what questions do you have left, Storm?
I have a few. Let me pull it up right now. You guys ready to rock and roll? First question comes from our lovely Reg Day. What was your favorite funny or memorable game glitches you know of / have experienced in a video game?
I can't remember of any glitches I... Oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! How can I forget that? Skyrim.
Oh,
There Skyrim. That
Skyrim is nothing but glitches.
Yeah, but I had a really hilarious, freaking hilarious glitch there. That guy, one of the guys that standing in front of some town, I forgot what town it was exactly, but it's one of the guy who held the horses with some bald guy. And I went out there and suddenly I see see him like multiplying, you know, there were five of them suddenly. Right. And one of them stuck in the floor, only the head out, and they all said, like, hello, hello, sir, hello. And it was, like, disturbing to see that, like, what the heck happened there? I don't know how that happened, but especially the one who stuck in the ground, only with the head out of the ground, was very talkative. Hey there, hey, how's it going?
That works.
I don't know if this counts, but it's a glitch, is when I was playing on the original Nintendo system, I was playing Duck Hunt, and depending on the condition of your cartridge, what it would do is whenever you shot the duck, is periodically it would freeze up, and all the pixels would invert, and you would see like this rainbow greatness. And if you were really lucky... If you were really lucky, the game would continue with the pixels being totally screwed up. And once in a while, the guy, the actual Duck Hunt guy, would be who you'd be shooting.
So, I mean, Grand Theft Auto's got like a shit ton of glitches in it that I like to... They're hilarious. Like, there's ones that you can use to kind of like get an advantage, I guess, which technically you're not supposed to, but, you know, you do anyways. So, like, glitches that get you inside buildings that you're generally not inside. So you'll be like... playing online, someone will be hunting you, and you can hide in like the building if you know how to get into it, taking advantage of the glitch, and then they can't kill you because there's just a wall around you, but you can kill them from the inside. Other ones I can think of, they're not really glitches, but I mean like new Super Mario Bros. There's a few levels that you can take advantage of that like you get a Koopa shell going back and forth where an enemy keeps spawning. And you can get like 100 one-ups if you just like sit there and let the Koopa shell go back and forth killing these enemies over and over again.
Yeah.
I wonder if building, one of the things I like to do in the original Sims was build a two-story house and then have the Sims go to the second story and then get rid of the stairwell and watch all hell break loose. Or, I wonder, is that considered a glitch?
Kind of, because, okay, so one thing that you can do in Sims is, like, put all the Sims in the kitchen, block off the doors with, like, tables and stuff like that, and then catch the house on fire. And yep. Watch them glitch out trying to get out.
Yep. Yep. I would do that and have them in the second floor, or I'd put them in the bathroom and then just pause the game and barricade all the doors.
There you go.
Ah, oh, that was good times. Good times indeed.
Also, what I did, what came a bit short last episode was How to Fool Boyfriend. It's actually...
Oh my god.
I did not talk about that in my plan, and I actually played it for the show. Really, I had downloaded it before, but I was never really encouraged to play it or motivated. And then I thought, hey, we're doing a bird video game show, so... hey, why not playing like the most famous bird dating game, if not the only one? And okay,
bird dating game. Wow.
First of all, of you who do not know what is How to Fool Boyfriend, it's one of those dating games, and you're exactly it's a bird dating game, and you're playing a 15 years old. Human girl visiting a prestigious pigeon school. So you're the only human there, and all other characters are birds, mostly pigeons.
Who the hell comes up with these things?
I don't know, but it's
people on LSD.
The Japanese. I'll never understand.
A bird loving Japanese, probably, and I think I downloaded it for about 3 or 2 euros about an half a year ago, and yeah, first of all, I do not want to spoil anyone, but the game later turns to something very different. At first I really was like, ah yeah, a dating game with birds, cool, but later I was like,
adult what? Sexy times with birds?
No sexy times. I wouldn't let kids play it because it can get rather disturbing, but actually isn't really much of a dating game. I mean, you're dating birds. A lot of those birds are super likable.
Do I dare you want ask to date how them? It becomes inappropriate for kids then?
The topics, and you can actually die in that game, and one date is really, I'm not a kid, but I was disturbed myself.
Oh,
okay. So instead of eHarmony, we have eCopony, and it's, you know, a bird noodle.
The thing is, that game has a freaking dark plot, and especially if you, after you have dated every bird, you get an extra story where it goes really crazy with a murder on the school and stuff, and I can't even I don't want to spoiler but it's really brutal. The story is scary and creepy, and but
this
also
makes
you
me
have
want to play this game more.
You have a lot of sad moments, really, that game goes to your emotions at sometimes. But also, the story is pretty crazy, really crazy. So, if you want to play something different, this is your game. I don't know if I would recommend to play it, because I don't want to give a bad recommendation, but I had a fun time with it.
A lot of people in the bird crew have been playing it, and they've been enjoying it quite thoroughly. So there must be something to the game that, you know, makes it attractive.
I think for the birds, it's mainly, hey, it's birds. Also, the story is You surely want to find out why there are only birds everywhere and you're the only human. What's going on?
Is this the kind of game that is made better with alcohol?
No, because you have to follow the story.
That doesn't stop you from entering a game with alcohol. I don't know about you, but okay.
Just, let's say, because about the question before, one of the dates with one of the birds was like the creepiest thing I ever did in a video game, and it really disturbed me, but in general, it's super sad.
Okay.
Okay. Vague, ominous, but okay.
So basically, you want something interesting, but slightly recommended, with a warning, play the game.
The first try of the game I did, as the first time I played that game, the first run was me dying. So you can die in that game.
That's early on, I'm guessing.
And yeah, pretty early on. If one of the possibilities to die, I hope that's not a spoiler, but it is. If you don't interact with any in the right way with the birds and some bad guys finding, hey, she doesn't match in a bird society. Because everywhere are just birds, but...
Bird Illuminati.
Dun, dun, dun.
More or less, and you should play it yourself, because everything I would say from now on would be a spoiler.
So like I said, semi-recommended. Recommended with strings attached. Play at your own peril. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. So
What was the other question we had going on?
Okay. Next question was from Sable. And the Sable question is this. What is your favorite game from the 90s, the 2000s, and the 2010s? Three games total. So maybe come up with one game from the 90s, 2000s, and 2010s. You know, one game from each decade.
I'm prepared for that.
I think he's more or less referring to just like games that are not necessarily modern games.
Yeah, from the 90s, from the 2000s, and from the 2010s. He wants no one game we enjoyed. And actually, for 1990, I already told you last time that it was Terranigma. But besides Terranigma, I can't really forget to put Monkey Island within that list, because I love Monkey Island. And, oh god, it's such a great game. The first three parts they are a blast and so much fun. And also, we can't forget that was when the Metal Gear Solid franchise started, more or less. I mean, it started earlier, but the Metal Gear Solid franchise started then. And Oddworld. Do you guys know Oddworld?
I played Stranger's Wrath, yes.
No, I mean the good Oddworlds, like... Stranger's Wrath is good too, okay.
Oh, but, damn.
But the 2D Oddworlds, the two first, Exodus and Odyssey, it's...
Stranger's Wrath was acclaimed to be one of the best video games of all time at the time of its release, so that was a...
Yeah, it is a really good game too, but it can't compete with the two first Oddworlds, I think.
Okay. For me, I suppose from the 90s, it's a toss-up between one of the Mario games, like Super Mario Brothers and such, or one of the Donkey Kong games from that era, because I loved both of them immensely. And Mario Kart was good too. 2000s, toss up between on the PC. I really started to get into the sim games, such as SimCity and such. But the game that sticks out for me the most was Metroid Prime and Metroid Prime 2 Echoes. From the 2010s. The only game I really had time to play, because by that point I was working my butt off, was probably the latest SimCity, which everyone loves to hate on. Plus, I did dabble in the Super Smash Brothers, which is kind of fun to play with friends and be insane. And Mario Party is kind of fun.
Smash Bros. Is like wicked competitive when you get into that scene, man.
Yeah, you can. You can ruin some friendships over that game if you're not careful. Not gonna lie.
Do you know how I and my friends used to play Super Smash Brothers? It was like you know the Pokeballs, and you could like set what items are appearing on the set. Yeah.
Right.
We only activated Pokeballs, and very often you can also how often they come. You could set that. And then we played the two-hour mode with only Pokeballs everywhere and flashy and the two-hour mode. Oh my god, it was. I'm pretty glad I'm not weak to light effects and flashy stuff. But oh my god, after 2 hours, you feel like you took some bad drugs.
I don't doubt. So,
which characters do you feel were overpowered?
The fourth Smash Bros. Smash Bros. The most recent one is actually really well balanced. I do have a little bit of an itch with the Fire Emblem characters. They seem to be a little bit like you can kind of spam moves with them and get people caught in a loop where you can just keep damaging them. So if you're not careful, then the Fire Emblem characters can really mess you up. As for Smash 3 on the Wii, Snake had some kind of glitchy moves that you could take advantage of and do the same thing.
Snake! Yeah.
As far as friendship ending games go, though, Mario Party.
God.
That game is intended to make you have to screw over your friends in order to win. So I have come very, very close to actually losing real-life friends over Mario Party. I'm not allowed to play with other people anymore. I'm not fair.
You're not fair. Oh, gee. Well,
afraid to screw people over to win. I'm a competitive person, and that game is all about screwing people over.
If they're real friends, really good friends, they're not going to actually lose. But I can see where people would get really butthurt and pissed at that game because of how it's set up and how you can rig the system to screw over people.
Especially when, like, you're already winning, and then just to secure your win, you manage to steal, like, everybody else's stars. That's always fun.
Yeah, Mario Party. I wish I had more chances to play it. But it always was fun so far. Also, my 2000s, I never said the other two decades. Decades. The 2000, it was clearly the Ace Attorney parts, the first three. Do you know Ace Attorney?
Yes.
Yes.
I remember the flash animations on Newgrounds of Ace Attorney.
Ace Attorney, I love it, and I still buy every game of it. And actually, the first game features a parrot in the best case in the whole series. And yeah, not just because of the parrot, just because of the whole storytelling, the whole, wow, I loved it. That game is so addictive because every time you take the right evidence and that objection shout, and you get really like that great soundtrack playing suddenly, and you know, yeah, I'm on the right track, fuck you, prosecutor. I love it. Especially the characters are so great, well done, and oh man, Japanese know how to do a great simulation of
yeah, the Japanese are very good at making highly competitive, challenging games. Especially when it comes to just out-of-the-box thinking, I really got to hand it to them. That's not to say American game developers can't do a good job, because absolutely we do. But you can tell it's a different culture.
Yeah, and in the 2010s, that was a great decade for indie game producers, and yeah, this decade is a very good year for them, and two of my favorites here are Papers, Please, and I'm one of those who really digged Undertale. So
Papers, Please. Oh my goodness, that's one of my favorites too. That game, you could spend hours, especially if you're drunk, just going and playing, you know, a bureaucrat from the Soviet Union, and just going over and over and over again. I love that game, and it's very good at forcing you to learn attention to detail.
Yeah.
So, Fleeks, you're very oriented towards, like, good story mode games, by the way it sounds. Have you played the Deus Ex franchise at all?
Only the one, I think Revolution was the name, and it was pretty good. Also, I like it because stealth games are... I love it. That's why I love Metal Gear.
Nice. So if you like Metal Gear and you like good story mode ones, like storyline games, definitely check out like Deus Ex as well. The original came out in 1999, and while the graphics are dated, everything else about the game is just wonderful. The mechanics are still perfect. The gameplay and the storyline itself is just on point. So
can you play through it without killing anyone like the other parts?
Yes.
Or is it? Oh, cool.
Enemies that you do have to take out.
Yeah, the bosses probably.
Kind of stuff. But yeah, you can't. It is a stealth game all the same. Or you can just go in guns a-blazing. You kind of build your own adventure, just like the Human Revolution is. I haven't had a chance to play...
I forgot it too.
Mankind Divided. So I haven't had a chance to play Mankind Divided yet, but that one's on my list as well. The 1999 Deus Ex, though, that is one of my favorite video games of all time. And I think that just fits in perfectly with the question that was asked here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know in the 2010s, consoles kind of went through a rebirth, so it's hit and miss. And you always struck me as someone that kind of leans more PC gaming, at least in some aspects, core.
Very much am, so it's either PC or Nintendo with me.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, Borderlands. Fucking Borderlands. Love the Borderlands series. Oh my god, that brought insanity and the cell shading to the next level. I loved it so much.
I need to still play it. I want to play it because it looks awesome. So
Borderlands 2 brought back everything and did really well on it as well.
Oh, cool. Cool. But what I enjoyed was Bioshock 2.
Nice.
I like that. And Bioshock Infinite. Oh, that was good too. I like that. I normally do not like ego perspective, but that game does it so well. I like it.
Okay.
Over the shoulder kind of thing?
Yeah, the first person perspective, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of it.
Oh, okay.
So I'm always glad when I can.
I was
going to
say, I don't think either of the games were third person, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So, okay. So this week I suggested we discuss some things about, you know, tasty noms and what our favorites are and maybe some recipes. So I have to ask, and this is the stereotypical question I start out with for everyone, right before you die, like you're going to be killed tomorrow for some reason. And they said, okay, your last meal can consist of three different foods. What would they be? What would be your three favorite items of
tacos.
Yeah, tacos.
It'd be straight up tacos, man.
Burritos are okay. Burritos are okay. Actually, fun fact:
all burritos all are big tacos.
Ugh. No, okay. No, not at all. How dare you? But yes,
actually, in Germany, we have an own word for the last meal you get before you get killed, and that is Henkersmahlzeit, and that's not translatable in any English word, but it literally means hangman meal.
Leave it to the Germans to come up with a word just for your last meal before death.
Are you talking about like your last meal before like being executed?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. That's the hangman meal.
All right. Core
the execution of meal.
you want tacos. All right, I've got to ask, what kind of tacos?
Honestly, just like, okay, so my tacos are just very simple. It could be soft shell, hard shell, don't matter. All it is refried beans, ground chuck, ground up hamburger, cheese, and sour cream. That's my dream taco. Those are amazing. I love them. No vegetables. Fuck vegetables. If I was to have more of like a classy meal, it would have to be something from Joe's Crab Shack. I fucking love Joe's Crab Shack, and I love crab.
Oh, God. Joe's is amazing.
I never watched
Joe's
that, but...
amazing.
I don't think they have it over in Germany, buddy. I'm sorry. I don't think I'd actually go into Joe's Crab Shack with friends without dropping at least like $100 every time. So it's like a very once-in-a-blue-moon treat for me. But getting a steam pot from them is just amazing.
And what's amazing about their steam pots is... you get all this fucking food and you eat it and you're still hungry for more. So by me, when the local fur meets go, we go to Joe's once in a while and they have all you can eat crab. We always go the night that there's all you can eat snow crab or whatnot. And we will get like 6 steam pots a piece for the fucking crab.
Nice.
It's amazing. Yeah, we come in and it's like, oh God, they just want our profits for the day.
They also have, so as far as beverages go, they also have one of my favorite mixed drinks ever. It's called a Shark Bite. And if I remember right, it's gin, vodka, Sprite. It's not that complicated. But what it is you also get a sidecar full of grenadine, and they serve this grenadine in a little plastic shooter, but around the shooter is a tiny shark, so you just dump the shark into the drink and drink it from there, and it's so fun.
Boom. I've taken home many of those little sharks, and what I especially love about Joe's is they write something smart ass and bib you. So since they know us, we're a bunch of furries, they come and write all kinds of inappropriate furry remarks and are bibbing us left and right, and oh God, it's hilarious. It really is. But Fleeks, going to you, what do you like on your tacos?
I'm more of I love tacos to if you can to put your own stuff on it, you know what I mean, like a taco buffet, yeah. But the same things as Core, really.
See, I'm in agreement with Core in that fuck vegetables, fuck them hard, fuck them long, etc. I don't want them. I personally, tacos, I like meat, cheese, and sour cream.
Okay, so that's why I see why you say burritos are basically the same. Because the only difference between that and that aspect is the fact that you deep fry the burrito.
Hey, man.
Sometimes, some places, they don't even do that by me. I live in a very Hispanic-filled area. I'm half Hispanic myself, so it's very much deep frying a burrito. Some will do it, some don't. It just depends.
I promise you one thing. I myself, one of the things I always have to do when I visit my friends in Berlin is doing burritos, because I perfected my own burrito art, I would say. Okay. I'm really good in doing burritos. I created my own recipes, my own salsa, my own stuff. And if you ever come to me, I will make you a burrito. And it's the only thing I'm really proud of, and that's doing burritos.
Nice.
All right. I'm definitely getting a Fleeks burrito.
Yeah, you need a Fleeks burrito.
So I want to ask you guys, why don't we share some recipes here? Like, share what your favorite go-to meal recipe is.
Well, I'm legendary for my pasta.
Okay.
For some fucking reason. I don't know why, but whenever furs or visitors come over, they like orgasm over my pasta. And it's not particularly amazing ingredient-wise. It's just basically you get a set of noodles. Usually I like the noodles that are in the shape of like little U-shaped pipes, the small ones. I forgot what they're called.
Elbow macaroni?
So yeah, that might be it, but the little ones, they have the miniature version. So get some of that. I go to Walmart and just get the Great Value dollar mega pack, because fuck it, I don't care, it's just noodles. Get that, dump it in a pot of boiling water, let it boil for about 10 to 15 minutes. Sprinkle in some salt while you're stirring it around till it gets to the consistency you want. Some people like their noodles hard, some people like they're soft. I like mine right in the middle.
So slightly al dente.
Right. And where people really go nuts is my pasta sauce. And it starts with a base of Prego spicy Italian sausage and Prego three cheese. I dump them together, mix it up. I add some McDonald's spicy habanero sauce into it. I add my special mix of paprika, sugar, lemon pepper, garlic, sriracha, a dash of Ermel's BAM sauce, or BAM powder, I mean. And then I add a dash.
You mean from the Spice Weasel? BAM!
Yep. And then a dash of Lowry's. And then right at the end, I put a little, I put a couple little shots of Tabasco into it. And I let that simmer for about a half hour, stirring it and adding a little bit of sugar over time. And by the time it's done, I take spicy Italian sausage, throw it in the oven in the U.S., 350 degrees for 45 minutes. If you want it crispier, put the oven at 375. And I add it together. I put it in one bowl, add some of that spaghetti cheese powder on the top. And the sauce is what really does it, because my sauce, when I'm done with it, is both spicy and sweet at the same time, but it's not overpowering. So as you take your first bite, it starts out sweet, then you get a kick, and then it ends sweet.
Nice.
So even the people that are a pussy when it comes to heat can tolerate the sauce and really like the flavor palette you get from it. That's what people love for me.
I'm actually always doing chili sauces when I for Euroference, and I fill it up in bottles and stuff. And I don't really have a recipe for that. I just take habaneros and everything I think that would fit into the mix. And like last year, I made chocolate habanero mole.
What is with you and chocolate and habanero? Like no.
That's a Mexican thing. That's a Mexican thing. It was Mexican themed, that sauce, and they call it mole, and that's like fruits and habanero or chili, and chocolate. That's a thing, really. That's not my invention.
Oh, okay.
And the other thing I did that was more American inspired was I took like a smoked water with raspberries and honey and habaneros too, because habaneros, I would put them in everything. And they both were pretty
habaneros.
Good.
Habaneros are the way to go. I'm not lying. I love habaneros.
Yeah, they taste too good. And I sold all of my sauces at last year reference. And this year I will make like even crazier stuff like... how is it called? Like a jalapeno sauce with matcha or everything I can come up with. Matcha is a kind of green tea for everybody who doesn't know that.
Fun fact for you. Salt in the U.S. tastes a little bit different than salt abroad, because in the U.S. the government adds iodine to the salt.
Here too. Iodine,
I believe it's called.
It's actually pretty much common for every first world country to put a little bit of iodine in their salt because it helps prevent goiters. Honestly, it doesn't change the flavor of the salt at all.
Because the places I went to, they had all natural salt, which didn't have that in it, and there was a slight difference to me, maybe. Maybe I just have a weird palate, and I don't know.
It could be something like sea salt kind of stuff.
Yeah, that might be it.
Or Himalaya salt that's practically just dirty salt.
Oh, God. All right. So Peck Peck makes chili sauce with chocolate. What about you, Cor?
I like making sliders.
What's that? Explain yourself. What's that?
They're basically like small sandwiches, except mine aren't really sandwiches. I make the sandwich in a Pillsbury croissant roll.
Oh, God. Oh, that sounds amazing.
So,
what's that?
Oh, Fleeks, I have so much to teach you.
Okay. Imagine bread that tastes orgasmic.
You know what a croissant is, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, well, it's that. It's I roll up the meat inside of a croissant.
Ah, okay, okay.
So my recipe is I take two tubes of Pillsbury's original croissants, not the fluffy, not the flaky kind of stuff, 1 pound of ground beef, 2 cups of shredded mozzarella cheese, and then in most sliders you'll do caramelized onions. I hate onions.
I feel the same way about pepperoni.
So I'll actually replace that with 4 cups of sliced, diced up cremini mushrooms. Actually, sliced, I should say. And then 1 clove of very finely diced garlic. I'll also take a teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce and 2 tablespoons of butter. So in the skillet, you add the ground beef, the garlic, and the Worcestershire sauce mix, and you cook until the beef is brown, and then you put it in a mixing bowl. In the now empty skillet, you add the mushrooms and a little bit of butter, and you saute for about 15 minutes till it's, you know, as tender as you prefer your sauteed mushrooms.
Okay.
Then you add the mushrooms in the mixing bowl and mix it in with the beef. Then you roll out your Pillsbury croissant dough, and you separate each triangle of croissant, and you add a big spoonful of the mushroom and beef into the croissant. And then you pinch it close. Then all you have to do is bake it at 375 for about 15 minutes or till the croissants are brown, and it's perfect. It's amazing. I love these sliders so much. And they're really good to dip in, like, salsa or sour cream.
Oh, my God. That sounds amazing. It really does. My beak is salivating right now.
We should share our recipes with the BirdLife chat.
Yes, we should. Yes, we should. Okay, so we've talked about tacos and such. If I had to pick my top 3 favorite things I'd want to eat before I had to die, it would be a ribeye steak cooked medium, seasoned with some Cajun and some garlic butter. Oh my God, heavenly. And then something taco or burrito with, once again, steak or chicken, or mixed steak and chicken with the Mexican spices. Amazing. And last but not least, how can you not have some good old pizza? I'm from Chicagoland, so naturally it's a toss-up for me, because I love both Chicago-style deep dish with the sauce on top, but I also like really, really thin crust. And it tastes really good both ways, but the one requirement I have, or two, is number one, fuck pepperoni, because I hated that shit. If you put pepperoni in the pizza, I won't eat it. Even the juice from the pepperoni, just ugh. But I love sausage, but I prefer it to be crumble sausage, so there's a layer of sausage throughout the whole pizza. And I also love having a lot of pizza sauce, like 2 to 3 times the normal amount. And I like my pizza sauce either being spicy or very sweet. If it's just neutral, I think it's bland. So either spicy or sweet.
You know, it's a very unique way to make a pizza, but that is a legitimately good-sounding pizza.
Oh, yeah. It's good shit. I make homemade. Sometimes I make it homemade. So a lot of times I go out and I've got different, you know, pizza joints for the spicy or the sweet or whatnot. And it's always good. I have yet to have pizza that I really don't like unless someone, you know, threw anchovies or some shit on it. And then I don't know why people would do that. But
it's messed up.
Never did it.
What about you guys? What do you guys like on pizza?
Honestly, I love all meats on pizzas. The only thing I don't understand and will never condone, and we've established this, is putting pineapple on a pizza.
Yeah, we already talked about that. It's human sense that pineapple on pizza is...
Don't do it. Well, don't just don't do it. It's so stupid.
My roommates love it. My roommates have been begging to order, because once in a while we'll get, you know, a group meal. And we usually do that probably once every week or so. And once we want to do pizza soon, and they're begging to get at least half the pizza with pineapple on it. And I'm just like, what the hell? What kind of unholy combination? Pineapple on pizza? I guess it would be better than anchovies, though. I got to give them that much. It's probably better than anchovies.
I think I would even prefer anchovies. It can't be that bad.
There's just no. Mm-mm.
So my girlfriend bought kippers the other day to give a try.
And what's kippers?
They're a type of fish that you buy in a can. They're like a little snack fish.
Right.
They're terrible. Don't eat them.
that sounds about okay.
But what I like on pizza is like mushrooms, especially champignons, and then if I go fancy, it's even worse. But yeah, and also pepperoni, aka salami. And especially fried salami.
The same?
Obviously.
I think it's the same.
They're not the same, but America is kind of the only place that has pepperoni. Okay. Even still, like, they're definitely not in. I mean, they don't even originate from Italy. They come from America.
Some of my friends who was in America and ate pizza there was like, that the pepperoni tastes like chlorine.
That's weird.
Yeah, that's because our food is all chemically engineered to taste orgasmic anyway.
Okay. And the other thing is and ham and salami. And the other thing, if I go fancy, I like figs and caramelized balsamico onions, caramelized. That's important.
Ooh,
yeah, I know you do like onions, but oh god, yeah, it is good. And then very good expensive Italian ham.
I don't like regular onions, but if you take the onion and you saute it and caramelize it,
with balsamico, yeah. That's important. Oh god, and like I said, you can't miss the. Good, the real good, expensive Italian ham. Oh, God.
Maybe I'm weird, but like when it comes to meat and Worcestershire sauce, I think the generic Worcestershire sauce, because it has more sugar in it, tastes better.
That's kind of why I don't go with the generic. Like, I love the Lee and Perrins, like the original Worcestershire sauce.
Right. I only got introduced to the generic because one of my friends bought the generic and didn't tell me. And then we tried it. And wow, this is quite good. But the hell did you do different?
It's really good just to dab, like, you know, about a tablespoon in with every pound of hamburger you have. It's amazing on steak, too. Like, fuck A1 steak sauce. Just use a tablespoon of Worcestershire sauce.
I like, in my opinion, great steak doesn't need sauce. If it's a truly tremendous cut of meat, you don't need sauce.
That's because it's salt and pepper. Properly. Correctly.
If you, for example, get an Argentinian steak, there does nothing else belong on it than salt and pepper. Else you will ruin it, really.
So there's a restaurant that's not too far from me that has, it's a Mexican restaurant. And they have one of the best things on their menu is the Mexican steak. But it's also put right next to the American steak on the menu. The same price. And they're actually, because I've ordered both, they are actually exactly the same meal. They're both steaks. They're both served the same way. So the only difference is the Mexican steak is slathered, absolutely slathered in hot sauce. Like kind of a mildish hot sauce, but still. And for some reason, it's just so much better. It's amazing. It's a good steak, too.
I like it when they take the steak and they marinate it. Because it really, especially if it's a good marinade, oh my God, it can take even a tougher piece of steak and turn it into this soft, juicy, orgasmic heaven with each bite. And even if it's a perfect cut of meat, I'm sorry, if you add, you know, add some Cajun seasoning to it or the garlic butter topping and let that marinate in and cook on the grill while you're cooking the steak. I think it can just take it up to the next level. What's your least favorite type of steak? If you got one, like, this really isn't my top five.
Generally, I don't really much of a steak either. I eat it sometimes, but generally I prefer other dishes. And so I do not really have favorite steak type, but if I have to choose, I would rather eat an American type steak or Argentinian type steak than a German kind of steak, because Germans suck in doing steaks, really.
No cultural pride there.
No, I'm a critical thinker. Yeah, I was raised like that.
Okay. I like any steak that's cooked past medium rare, kind of ruined for me because it takes away so much of the flavor. But I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, I like my steaks like bloody to the point of stick a fork in it, it still moves. Like, fuck those people. Have it nice and pink.
Well, I actually like raw, not too raw steaks, but if there's still a bit of juice, you know what I mean?
I don't
like
want it bloody and running, but I do want it to be pink and have a little bit of juice.
Pink,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, pink, if you go too far below medium, it goes from being, wow, this is tasteful, this is moist and juicy, to, wow, I've chewed this piece of meat for 35 fucking times and it's still not breaking down correctly.
Oh yeah,
losing all the flavor. And it's like,
that's
ugh.
How German. That's how German steaks work.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No, fuck that.
Blah.
Okay, for me, it's filet mignon. I understand why people are crazy for it, but I personally think it's a waste of money. I would rather have succulent prime rib or pretty much any other type of steak than filet mignon, because it's so lean, it loses all of its flavor.
It's true. Like, to me, I kind of prefer just a good T-bone. Like, each cut of meat is like kind of supposed to be a different experience. Filet mignon, you know, is supposed to have a different texture, be a little leaner, and, you know, it's not as flavorful as just like T-bone is, though.
Right.
So there is a way that you can make filet mignon significantly better, though.
How?
Wrap it in bacon.
I'm not joking. That completely defies the entire point of getting filet mignon.
No, like, you can actually go to like fancy restaurants now and they'll have like filet mignon with like a single really big thick cut piece of bacon wrapped around it, around the circumference of it.
Right.
And then they'll cook it up like that. And that's what I love to do.
I mean, I've seen that before, and that certainly does sound good. Don't get me wrong, it does. But it seems like it's like, okay, so you're adding fat and juices back into the meat to
of the cut that's supposed to not have it.
Right.
Because
right.
You're not alone in your feelings of thinking like filet mignon's just like, it's too, there's not actual like chewy, you know, flavorful goodness. It's just kind of a cut of meat.
And it's usually among the most expensive steaks on the menu, if not in many places I go to, the most expensive is always filet mignon. And when the prime rib is that much cheaper than filet mignon, it's like, good Lord, what the hell?
That's true.
Now, let's talk about an American classic here, hamburgers. You know, we make them by the metric ton in our country. I hear even Germans like hamburgers. How do you like to go about cooking your hamburger? What do you like it being in it, if anything? Personally, for me, I like making my hamburger with, depending on the mood, Lawry's or some other type of seasoning, sometimes Cajun, sometimes a little lemon pepper. Just depends on my mood for the day. And my toppings most of the time are going to be pepper jack cheese, a thick couple pieces of bacon, maybe some mushrooms, and either mustard and ketchup or mayo and ketchup, depending on my mood, on a buttered bun that you throw on the grill for just a snack second.
Nice.
That to me is a perfect burger. The people that put stuff in their burgers, you got to do it just right, because I've had that done so many times. It's like, this really isn't adding to the quality of the meat. And then the people that put egg in their burger, I don't know. Maybe your opinion's different, but if I'm going to put egg in my burger, I put it on top like a Royale with cheese, because that tastes good. But when you put it in the meat itself, when you're making the meat and mashing it together, it just alters the flavor profile so much. And people tell me they have to do it to keep the meat together, but I've never had a problem with my burgers falling apart without it.
Yeah, as long as you don't overcook them and, like, you make your patty first. What the hell? But
right.
No, so, like, I can see that. For me, best kind of way to just make a classic burger is just take the patty and, you know, add about just a little bit of Liam Perrin's Worcestershire sauce. That's, this episode of Bird Life is brought to you by Worcestershire sauce. put a little bit of that in there, and then I
by the way, it's Worcester sauce.
Sure. Anyways, so I'll take some barbecue sauce and some ketchup, mix that together, and I liked putting that on my burger. It's just good to me.
I normally like keep it simple too, because what I really like is like cheese. Yeah, I really love jalapeno cheese burgers, like with jalapeno cheese. And a good meat. Chili cheese is so damn good. But one of the best burgers I ever ate was in Berlin. You have a burger delivery service called how was it? Burger Rebel, I think was it Burger Rebel. And they have a burger Camembert that's with soft cheese, you know, that one that has that edible mold outside, and it's super soft inside,
right?
And they put it on the burger, and oh my god, that's so good. I was curious about it, and I tried it, and I haven't regretted. Oh man, that's so good. You should try soft cheese on French soft cheese on burger one day. It was.
Oh, there are people. There are people I know that subscribe to in the U.S. cheese catalogs. And literally, their pride and joy is not the meat itself. It's all the different kinds of cheeses they'll put on a burger for a given week. And a restaurant by me called Steak and Shake, which is known for being cheap and delicious in the Midwest U.S., just introduced a Wisconsin cheddar burger, which is literally covered from the top of the meat patty to the bottom bun in fresh, hot Wisconsin cheddar cheese. And they give it to you after it's cooled just for a couple minutes so the cheese is firmed up. Oh my gosh, that burger melts in your mouth. Now, you got to like cheese, of course, but if you like cheese, that is some, really top shelf. Really is.
So I normally don't hype like fast food joints, but I got to give like a shout out to Carl's Jr. or Hardee's on the East Coast. They came out recently with a beer cheeseburger.
I tried it. Yep.
It is phenomenal. So it's very similar in that make, but like you can, it's of all beers it's made with, it's like made with Budweiser, I think, but it's still really good.
I had it when I was visiting family in Tennessee, and it is really good. It's very moist, and even if it's made with Budweiser, apparently they must get the top quality Budweiser because it really tastes good. It really does.
I think it's just kind of concentrated flavor because it's cooked in there.
Yeah, well, you can use almost any alcohol when you cook it or make it. The alcohol itself will evaporate out of it, so you won't get drunk off beer cheese.
Yeah. I mean, you can also have a... I mean, you couldn't... What was I going to say? Fuck. Tennessee whiskey burgers are also a really big one, so you can put like a couple shots of Jack in with your meat when you're cooking that too.
Okay. If
you ever go to a Bennigan's restaurant, get the Jack Daniel's sauce. I know TGI Fridays is something similar. And it's very sweet how they make it by the time it's done, but it top shelf. It adds a very distinct flavor profile, and it's a mixture of strong and sweet, and it really tastes similar to the drink, but with a sweet kick. I like it.
Duly noted.
What is the weirdest things you guys have...
Weirdest thing contextually?
You've tried and you're like, wow, I actually like this.
Strawberry sauce with green pepper. That was surprisingly good. And it was, it was in white chocolate too. White chocolate with green pepper and strawberries.
Fleeks has this weird fetish of mixing chocolates and peppers.
He is weird. I wouldn't be surprised if one day he tells me he puts, you know, chocolate on inappropriate objects as his form of lubricant. I really wouldn't.
Hey.
It's nothing like extravagant, but like earlier this year, I had for the first time Heart of Palm. That shit's amazing.
The heck is it?
It's exactly what it sounds like. It's the core of a palm tree.
Oh, that's pretty good.
It's delicious.
It's like sugary and... Yeah. One of the weirdest stuff I... I remember
soft
that...
soft and squishy.
I have to look it up, how it's called. So give me a second. In English, you know.
Storm, if you haven't had it, it is pretty affordable. You can find it like just down the... canned vegetables aisle. Looks and has like the initial consistency of like mozzarella string cheese, but it tastes wildly different, and it tastes really good.
I definitely will try that. While Fleeks is looking up his definition, the two things I've tried this year for me, because I've got to do two, are I tried coconut water for the first time.
Oh, man.
And... it actually, there's something weird about it. It tastes different, but it grows on you. And I think it's delicious. And the other thing that's really more of a food is Nutella and peanut butter. And as a sandwich. And the reason why I say that is I fucking hate Nutella. I think Nutella is the most disgusting spread ever made in the history of mankind. I'm sorry, I think it's repulsive. I just do. But my roommate just introduced me to a sandwich where she put Nutella and peanut butter together. And somehow, mixing it together makes it taste entirely unique. And it actually tastes quite good. It does. It doesn't taste like peanut butter, and it doesn't taste like Nutella. It tastes like something completely different.
Nice.
And if you haven't tried it before, give it a try. For someone that hates Nutella, and I think it tastes good, that should say something.
So, I like Nutella well enough, but there's another spread that I prefer. And sorry, Fleeks, not to interrupt, just quick. The spread that I prefer is Biscoff spread. Have you guys heard of it?
Oh, God. Yeah, that's good.
It's made out of fucking cookies.
It's amazing.
I actually had the chance to eat it, and it's good, but the German version is better. So now we are back to what's better in Germany than in the US.
All right, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, Fleeks, and do your bit.
Yeah, actually, I want to say that because you were with the palm tree core, you know, in Egypt, I was like 3 times in Egypt, and they have sugar cane juice.
I've always wanted that.
And that's like, it's so unique, the taste. Oh my God, they sell it everywhere in every corner of the street, and freshly made from fresh sugar canes. And it's so amazing. It's like, it's so sugary, but at the same time, it tastes like, probably like you would imagine sugar cane would taste, but it's so good. It's so soft, and it's like, I love it. Every time I'm in Egypt, I drink that.
Nice. Have you ever had sugar cane whiskey?
That's a very different thing, and I do not really like whiskey, except the really expensive shit you can get.
It doesn't taste like whiskey at all. In Louisiana, they have a lot of sugar cane plantations. And They end up making this stuff in small batches. Usually a lot of it's illegal. So that's how you know it's the good shit. And sugarcane whiskey and sugarcane moonshine. Oh my gosh. It tastes sweet. It tastes not overpoweringly sweet, but just like a sweet drink that will knock you on your ass before you realize it. Top shot.
Oh, man.
When you come to the U.S. one day, we're going to show you the wild side of life.
I can stomach a lot of high percentage alcohol.
I've got a bottle of moonshine, cinnamon moonshine, waiting for me in the cupboard.
A bottle of moonshine?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you put moonshine in jars?
Well, it is in a mason jar, I should say. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. First question comes from Ace. Question is...
The pirate cockatiel?
Yeah.
Do you like coconuts?
Yeah, I do like it, especially the juice. The coconut water from a fresh coconut. It's so good from a fresh coconut. But you know what the shit is with that? I mean, they sell it as whole coconuts, and you have to drill a hole into it to get to the juice. And you know how freaking hard it is to drill a hole in a fucking coconut.
I just take a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Then you lose all your juice.
I put it in a big bowl and I sledgehammer it in the bowl so the juices just go to the bottom and I just drink it.
But to continue the answering on that very loud asked question, I hate everything that smells like coconut, like deodorants or something. I really get sick from that smell, from that. That's not really coconut, that's artificial, and oh my god, artificial coconut is so nasty.
Oh, I agree. I've discovered I really like coconuts, actual coconut. The juice, the eating coconuts fresh, yeah. I like
Bounty. It.
But coconut in like a candy, like Almond Joys, or any other candy, is so disgusting to me, I literally get sick. It's, no, fuck that shit. Get it away from me.
Ugh. I don't disgusting. Care if it's natural. I don't care if it's artificial. It's the taste. It's the texture. Coconut's just horrible. I hate coconut.
I like coconut macarons or coconut. I like Bounty, for example, and I like... Raffaello. I don't know if you have Ferrero Raffaello in English, but in English, in the US. But, oh god, that's so fucking good. But most of the time, I would like agree with you, Storm. Like, it doesn't taste good in everything.
All right. Next question comes from Drucifer. Challenge. Challenge is this. Do your best. Christopher Walken voice. I have a problem with this question. I don't have a clue who Christopher Walken is.
Me neither.
Same. I know he's an actor. I know he's well known, and I know he's got an iconic voice, but I've never really paid much attention to Care. And anytime someone's done a Christopher Walken voice, it's always been like really annoying. So no.
we sorry, don't have Drucifer. Any idea, Drucifer. Sorry.
I'm sorry, we love you, but we don't have a fucking clue. I'm sorry. All right, next question. It's a challenge again. It comes from the legendary Ace, the bird. The question is this. Try to pronounce some Czech words.
And he gave us a list.
Oh my god, this is going to be... Okay, I'm trying.
Only for you, Ace, and all the other listeners from Czech. How is it the country from the Chikai? How is Chikai called in Czech Republic? Oh, thank you. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. I want to try one. Okay. Vyprův. Pork. Vyprův.
I want to try the first.
you did the one I was going to take.
Sorry,
You try it anyway. What the hell?
You can't try it anyway. Try it anyway. That's nothing because I probably didn't do it right.
I usually try to practice these first. Fuck. Sestet set, sedestet set, sis. No, hang on. Sestiset, sedestis, cest, which is apparently 666.
Set. I don't know. I can't even follow the letters.
Strictus Kirk.
I'll try another one. Sapice.
Storm's just going for the easy, like, two-syllable ones.
Sapice, yeah, that's actually... Fleek's
Naira for the challenge of doing whole sentences.
Okay, fine. Chestray! I want the Chestray! Okay. That's what we're pronouncing.
Jeskidrai, maybe something like that. And that
Struk
means
Jeskidrai.
That check means Czech railways and
I don't know if we would be laughed at or arrested on the spot.
Please grade us later, Ace. Give us some grades and. Yeah.
What did you call my mother?
What did you call my mother? Yeah. Maybe we insulted the whole Czech Republic now and are.
Possibly. We're blacklisted in Czechoslovakia now.
From now. We're considered Czechoslovakia!
Oh my god! No! Oh, wrong country!
Yeah, you're still in the past.
All right, we have a challenge and a question from our lovely Reg Day. And the first is the question. I just want to get that out of the way. And the question is this. Do you like the base, the buttery biscuit base? And the answer is yes.
Thank you so much for joining us. This you can catch us on Twitter and Facebook, Bird Life Podcast. You can always subscribe to us via iTunes, Google Play Music, or the RSS feed.
Kiss the bird, damn it!
You can join us on Telegram. We have a Bird Life chat there as well. And yes, kiss the bird. If you kiss the bird, what it does is it helps pay for our servers. I'll just throw in a bit that we've come up with later. I don't want to do it right now. I'm tired.
Kiss but it. Do you want the
just kiss
do
you it? Want, kiss the yeah, bird. Kiss, always kiss it.
Kiss the bird. You know you want to kiss the bird.
It's looking at you. Just kiss bird. It. Kiss the
it's
bird.
It's got a tear in its eye. It
and
wants
the best part.
Okay, that's good enough. We'll keep that.
It wants to kiss you too. Okay.
And thank you. And always be beeping.
Always be beeping.
You better beep, damn it.
Why is he getting so threatening and intimidating lately? Oop. Hate onions. Loathe entirely.
The challenge this week is to go through the alphabet and try to name as many desserts as you can from A to Z. And what we've decided to do to make this a little easier is we're going to take turns, starting with Core's A, I'm B, Fleek's is C.
Did Google not already do this with the releases of Android?
I don't know that.
No, I don't think Google's gotten through all of them yet.
No, they haven't gone through the whole alphabet, but every release of Android is named after a dessert.
They have a lot of fruits, I think, too. Or, I don't know.
For sake of expediency, I would say we should try to each person name at least one dessert for each letter. And if you can think of more than one quickly, go for it. So
yeah, we should... Only one per letter, and we are doing it in the order Storm, Core, and then me.
And putting yourself conveniently last.
A, B, C, D, E, and not by, I don't know, I don't think.
Hey, you're flipping on me, Fleeks. Fleeks, you said Core, Storm, and then you.
Okay, we can do that. I don't care about the order.
Fine, okay, Core, you ready?
So I'm B, right?
You're A.
I'm A. Jesus Christ. Give me the hard one right off the bat.
I can think of...
Shut up. I can do it if you want. I'm drawing blanks right now. fuck, what is it called? Shut up. Storm, you start us off.
Fine. Apple strudel.
Okay. Damn it, now I'm drawing a blank on B.
Banana bread.
Thank you. Go ahead, Fleeks.
Cake! Cake!
Oh,
or
God.
If you want coconut cake. Coconut cake, yeah.
Dates?
Okay.
I don't know.
Dates?
Dates can be made into a dessert.
How about, for example, dime?
Or dreamsicles.
Or, for C, also cupcakes would have been good, but I did not think. what's good for D, too? Okay.
Let's just move to E.
Dorian bonbons.
Dorian bonbons. Okay. All right, okay. E.
Yeah, E for you.
All right. Cor, do you have anything for E?
No.
Enderberry. Okay, enderberry. Enderberries. Enderberries can be very sweet. You can make it into a cake and such.
And F is, of course, Fleeks.
Fudge. Fleeks fudge.
Yeah, Fleeks fudge. Yeah, right.
Grenadine. I don't know. You put that in a
G.
Drink.
Yeah. Cor just downs grenadine.
Cor, so today on Bad Life, it's revealed that Cor does not know candies. Desserts.
I don't eat many desserts or pastries, no.
You can also take candies, any candy or candy brands.
H, I would say Halos.
Yeah, right. That's a good choice.
It is. It's very tasty. All right. Cor?
Somebody help me.
Oh my gosh. Do you not eat any sweets?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Fuck.
How about ice cream?
Ice cream? Fuck, I was even thinking that earlier. God damn it. I was honestly thinking ice cream earlier, and then I drew a blank when it came to my turn. Fuck my life.
Okay, Jaffa Cakes.
Jaffa Cakes. Good job, Fleeks. I was thinking the same thing. Or jalapeno.
Yeah, it's the only thing I can think of.
Jalapeno ice cream is actually really good, too.
It's jalapeno,
It literally is spicy ice cream. K, Kit Kat. Sorry, it's got to be Kit Kat.
Yeah, Kit Kat was easy.
Lemon meringue pie.
Oh my god, he got one!
Lemon key cookies. Man, oh god. So
M&M's?
No, I don't want to be that cheap. How about Madeleines?
Don't know what those are.
Marble cakes. Do you know marble cake?
Marble cake, yep, marble cake.
Okay, then that. I wasn't sure if that was a thing in the US, and I literally translated it.
All right, N, Cor.
Nougat.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm just straight up naming Android operating system now.
No. Fun fact, Hershey made something called nuggets. So that is a form of dessert.
No, nougat, as in what it goes inside like Kit Kats and stuff. Well, not Kit Kats, but it's like the chewy stuff inside Charleston Chews.
Okay. All right. So, oh, is for me orange slices.
Oh, yeah. Well, the other thing I was thinking of is Oreos.
Oreos! Oh, I love Oreos. Yes.
For P, I can't think of so many stuff. I just have to. How about
can't Candied pistachios.
Yeah, pistachio, chocolate, or pineapple hard candy, or maybe some brand. Something exotic, pandan cake. Pandan. Pandan is a Eastern flavor. I don't know exactly from what country, but I think, I'm not really sure. I think Korea and Vietnam, they have pandan leaves, and they're doing sweets out of that. And it's not that good.
All right, core Q.
You fuck off.
The first thing... Q.
See, even Fleeks can't come up with something. He's just saying Q over and over again.
Q's. I'm probably Q's.
Chernobyl brownies.
Quebec hard candy. I don't know. Quacamole. Quesadillas. Sweet quesadillas.
I'll take R. Red velvet.
I love red velvet. Oh, Corey, you know how to capture my heart.
I don't like red velvet.
You give me some red velvet, I will melt.
Red velvet is cheap.
If you ever want to take me on a date, red velvet.
Oh, I actually know. In Germany, we have something with Q. We had something with Q, but it died. They do not sell it anymore, but it was my childhood, and that is called Quench. And Quench was like a syrup or a powder to put it in drinks. Okay, and it was very sweet, take it as dessert. Could also put it in cello.
For S, I'm thinking sweet tarts.
So what?
Sweet tarts.
They're a candy.
For T, I could just go with I forgot it. Tarts, but I'm not that cheap, so I say tiramisu.
Tiramisu, yes.
Tiramisu.
Yes. Oh, I love it when it tastes more coffee. So good.
I don't like tiramisu that much. Tiramisu.
Core, you have to try it. It's fucking amazing.
You. I don't can think of anything with you. Except maybe, no, it's your own. You. Oh, man.
I have no idea for you.
What? For you? No idea. It's an upside down cake, I think.
Yes, that counts. Perfect. That counts. An upside down cake.
Or an, what was the other one? Maybe there is also something called Utah cake. We don't know. Urine cake.
No. Yes. We. Urine cake. Totally for those people in.
Oh, I'm with we. I'm
the.
We. Oh, we.
There's yes, you're with we.
I'm sure there's absolutely no candy with we. I'm so
vanilla.
Sure about that.
Yes,
vanilla. How about vanilla? Vanilla cupcakes, man. Or
we are all not very vanilla.
Strudel. Vanilla strudel. Yeah? Huh? Illy vanilla.
UVW. So W would be like, white chocolates.
White chocolates. Waffles. Yeah.
Watermelon candy. Wafer. Watermelon
candy. Oh my fucking God.
I love watermelon. I love the artificial American watermelon. That's why I had to bring it in. I was so excited for getting W, but then I had V, and so I had to shout it out. Who has X now? X is Storm or Core now?
Oh, come on, Core. We know
I
you
did
got
W.
This.
Fuck off. I said white chocolate.
You never have heard of X-ray chocolates?
Nope.
X-ray chocolate?
They're inside out. Basically, instead of the candy, the inside of the candy being on the inside, it's outside and it has a chocolate core in the middle. It's pretty cool. They run them around Halloween.
Okay. Extra sour gum. I don't know. Extra something. But
there is an extra gum. Yeah.
Do I have...
That's with an E.
So, now you have the fun to deal with Y. Storm.
Why?
Yoo-hoo.
It's called Yoo-hoo.
That's a drink.
Yeah, but that's they make weird. A candy version too. You can.
Okay.
There's a recipe to turn Yoo-hoo into candy. It's really good. You really? Freeze it.
I was just gonna go yeah. basic and be like to... yogurt.
Yeah,
yogurt. Yeah. Or
That means Z is again? On you, Fleeks.
Something with Jewel. For that, I would have a lot of German things like Zwetschgenkuchen or Zucker adding, but let me think about it. I'm sure I know something with it. There's some Italian dessert
Zots.
That starts with that. Also, I prefer to say sad and not C because C and C is so confusing. I don't know how to pronounce it. So,
there is Zots, which is American candy, where it's a hard and sour candy on the outside and then it has carbonation on the inside.
Ooh, that sounds tasty.
I am just listening to the pronunciation. Give me a second. Chabagione. That's some dessert with, I think, citron or something. I'm not sure. It's an Italian dessert.
Okay, at this point we are an hour and 40 minutes in. It's time to wrap up.
Yeah, you will probably cut quite a lot, so it's okay.
Yeah, I could tell. Core's getting antsy, you know. His voice, he's starting to get mad at us, so got to wrap it up.
Not mad.
Can only tolerate so much Griffin ass.
Also, next time we have to pronounce French words.
No.
Oh, God, that's even worse.
Actually, I can probably do French okay. It's, yeah.
Like, yeah.
German would actually be difficult for me.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.